The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
Verses 1 to 3. Psalm 40. Verses 1 to 3. I'm preaching on the topic, brought out to be brought in. Brought out to be brought in. So we read this and then we go to Deuteronomy to read that. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, or the other one I have is the miry clay. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Verse 2, he brought me out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Before I make any further teachings on this, I like us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'm reading verse 1. Sorry, Deuteronomy 6, I'm reading just a verse from there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. The book of Deuteronomy has always been referred to as the second law. Why is it so referred to? Because it was the second time that God was reminding Israel about his laws, his promises, and the things that he expected from them. Can I hear an amen? I didn't hear an amen. So he was reminding them that he was leading them out of bondage through the wilderness into the promised land. And he told them, when you get there and you are seated with your children, teach them the word. Take advantage when you are watching television to slot in the word. Somebody may dress unacceptably on a New York catwalk, find the best attire in it and said, I like this better than the other ones. The Bible says when you lie with them in bed, teach them the word. And it says when you walk with them along the streets, teach them the word. And it says write the word in front of your doors. Post it over there that they would see it and that they would not forget it. In other words, the primary responsibility, one responsibility of parents, is to teach their children the word. What you hear in church is supposed to supplement what you are doing. So if you don't do yours, there'll be a gap. And at the end of the day, if you don't take it, the enemy will stand in. And then you will have to struggle a lot because your children would have been told some things that they shouldn't believe. And if, unfortunately, they get to believe it, then you have a major task to handle. So it is in the course of it, when you read the preceding verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that God was advising them. Then he comes to verse 3 and says, he brought us out from thence. He brought us out from Israel. And he brought us out from the wilderness that he might bring us in. Being brought in is into Canaan. This verse of scripture teaches us a major principle. It teaches us the principle of leaving and the principle of entering. So we leave one thing in order to enter the other. We leave one place in order to enter another place. If you don't leave babyhood, you won't experience childhood. And if you don't experience childhood, you won't experience adulthood. If you don't leave primary school, you will never be in the middle school. And if you don't leave the middle school, you will never experience the secondary school. And if you get stuck in the secondary school, you won't experience a tertiary institution experience. This morning we are all here because we left home. If we had to be conveyed by a vehicle, we left home and entered a car. If we arrived in the car and never got out of the car, we would never have entered the auditorium of the church. So in life, you must recognize that you will leave your home, enter your car, and either go to school or your office or the market. Similarly, you leave poverty in order to enter prosperity. Some of us seem to have graduated and settled in poverty, but necessarily your mind must be made, even if the circumstances have not changed yet. You must believe that you're in a period of transition and God is moving you to the next stage. You leave singlehood in order to enter marriage. You leave sorrow to enter joy. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. To have a setback is not a major problem. But to remain in the setback and let it be called failure is a great issue. So you leave failure into success. You leave fear into faith. And you leave lack of assurance into full assurance. If you feel insecure in your life, you must overcome it and read and study on things that will transition you into security. We also leave 1 year in order to enter another year. Oh, somebody must be clapping by this time. I don't like your clap because it's as if you are not ready to transition into the next year. Until you leave, you never enter. The way you live determines how you enter. If you live in bitterness, you may enter in bitterness. I remember when I used to work at the university, I was among a panel that the vice chancellor constituted to interview some people that were to be appointed into senior positions. So as the university counselor, I was on the panel, and all kinds of questions about the background, qualification, and etc. happened. Then I came forth when it was my turn with a question, where were you working? And I asked, why did you leave? Then this lady started weeping because the pain, the hate, the bitterness was still inside her. Unfortunately, she had to be disqualified because they realized that emotionally she was not fit for the job she was applying for. She hadn't developed enough emotional capacity to move into this higher position that she was looking for. And it's important for us to appreciate that the way you live is the way you enter. Sometimes I hear that this guy has just moved out of a divorce. Within 3 months, he has contracted another and he has entered into it. And to show the rest of the world, and particularly to spite the ex, that I am handsome and that my forehead is as beautiful as the best forehead in the world. Many times when you're counseling the ladies and say, take your time, they say, oh, pastor, we are in love. When I'm sick, he comes for me to the hospital. When I'm going to work, he picks me up. And although he's in one direction, he tries to take me to the other direction. I've always said that if people picking you up constitute love, then taxi drivers have the best love in the world. Until you leave, you never enter. And the way you leave determines how you enter. You live in bitterness, anger. You walk out on the church, walk out on senior pastor, walk out on your employer, just walk out. You are going to enter the same in the same spirit that you left. And sometimes when people don't bring a proper closure when they are leaving, after 5 years, they meet you and they expect you to smile. No, you haven't closed the docket well. Go back and close it. They say, well, I met him and he wasn't smiling. Yes, because you didn't close the docket properly. So the way you live is the way you enter. You live in bitterness, you might enter in bitterness. If you want to enter in love, then fill your heart with love. In the kingdom of God, there are basic principles by which we enter as we live. Number one, in order to enter, make sure your heart is full of love. The people who have offended you in the year that is passing, you have to find a way to overcome the hurts. You have to find a way to overcome the pain and the bitterness and the resentment. You have to find a way. You may not have met them, but make sure that your spirit is cleansed and your heart is free from anything that will keep you angry and resentful and making negative comments about the other party. So necessarily you must get to a place where you must overcome these tendencies which literally seek to drag you out of love. So in order to enter, you must enter in love. Somebody shout a solid amen. Number two, you must enter in faith. Otherwise, don't leave where you are. Otherwise, stay in the year 2023. When the calendar changes, say to yourself, my calendar has not changed. I am still in 2023. But I want you to know that we must enter in faith. Faith looks ahead with confidence. Faith anticipates that there is something good ahead. Yesterday may not have been too good. Today may have been a little better. But as for tomorrow, I am guaranteed by the word. The Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I have toward you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. So you have to decide that as for this transition we are making into the next year, it is going to favor me. The things that I couldn't lay hold on in the passing year, I am going to have it. And if I have a witness in this house, then let all the saints shout and clap to God's glory. Madam, you are not clapping. You are not entering in faith because it's an instruction. I say next year, great treasures are ahead of you. Next year, amazing opportunities are ahead of you. Oh, next year, silver and gold awaits you. Next year, a great promotion is about to manifest. You must believe it with all your heart and enter the year and wait for it till it comes to pass. don't have this attitude that every year they say the year is ending, then they come with a new theme. Next year is the year of continuous what? So-so-and-so victory. They said it, we didn't see it. This time, decide you'll be among the number. Decide you will have your testimony. Decide when people are showing what they have to the glory of God, you'll be able to invite a few people, sit with them and testify about what God is doing for you. I said the year we are about to enter, some people will get married in a lovely way. Others will purchase a land. Others will build a house. Others will start a business. Others will grow their business. It will be a year of laughter, celebration, rejoicing. Can I hear a solid amen? Give somebody a high five knee and tell the person, the year we are entering into is a solid year for me. It's my year of breakthrough. Tell the person. So number one, we enter in love. Number two, we enter in faith. Number three, we enter in power. We don't enter in weakness like the earthworm. We become solid. We stand our ground. We allow nothing to move us. We release the power of God to move things. If they don't move on Monday, we continue on Tuesday. If we don't see any move on Wednesday, we go into Thursday and into Friday. If January we don't see it, we move into February and we continue till the next December. Shout amen. I want to hear power. I want to hear power in your amen. Shout amen. Israel would have stood behind the walls of Jericho forever had they not followed instructions and the directions of the Most High God. They were to keep quiet for 6 days while they went around the wall. And 6 or 7 days they were not to speak nor make any noise. But on the 7th day, they were to let themselves go. And they were to shout with a shout of faith and a shout of power in the Most High God that the limitation, the obstacle, the wall that was ahead of them, that humanistically speaking could not be broken down, because even if you pushed it down, it became another wall, because the top of it was so broad that 7 horses could ride abreast on it. It only had to take the power of God to destroy it. I want you to know that today some things are going to be destroyed in your life. Oh, I wish I was not the preacher so that I could say my own amen. Can I hear an amen? Oh, come on. Are you going to shout? Are you going to say an amen that shakes the foundation of the earth? Like Apostle Paul and Silas, when they were thrown into jail, the Bible says they prayed and they sang. Oh, come on, keep clapping. When you shout like that, what are you entering into? Are we just entering into numbers 2024, 2025? Are we just entering into figures? Are we just entering into things which are arithmetically inclined or can be used for algebra or dydx? We are entering into a season. Oh, come on. I like the smile here. And I like the clap here. I like the laughter. These people, you are entering into a season, a favorable season, an opportune season, a season of blessing. Shout amen. Oh, I'm entering my season. I'm entering my season. Season of childbirth. Season of miracles. Season of overwhelming blessings. Season of untold victories. Oh, can I hear an amen? It's a season of establishment. The other time the enemy stole from me, but now he cannot steal again, because I'm entering a season of security and preservation. Shout yeah. Number two, you are entering a season that ushers you into your destiny. Oh, can I hear an amen? Destiny is about what happens at the end. And everybody who came to this world, your destiny had been predestinated. In other words, God had looked at you before you became a clot of blood in your mother's womb and determined what your end should be. The Bible says, for those that he had foreknowledge about, he called. And those that he called, he sanctified. Them that he sanctified, he justified. And them that he justified, has he glorified. You don't need a prophet to tell you you are glorified. A sure word of prophecy, which is the word, says you are glorified. I, as a servant of God, I am telling you, on top of it, you are glorified. The Bible says, believe in God that you will be established, and believe in the prophets that you will prosper. And I am telling you, you are moving from glory to glory and to glory. Can I hear you shout the loudest shout? So this transition from one calendar year to the next takes us closer into destiny. If we made mistakes and there was a detour, God is going to bring us back on track. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Oh, shout an amen. Abraham made a mistake and he made a detour because he allowed the suggesting of his wife to take the maid Hagar, and Ishmael was produced. But God said, this is not the child of destiny. The one that has purpose is Isaac, and you have to wait for the best to happen into your life. So I'm saying that in the year we are about to enter, God is going to usher you closer to your destiny. Your purpose will be refreshed. The will of God will be established. The counsel of God shall come to manifest. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number three, you will enter into your heritage. Oh, I like heritage. You see, when somebody dies, what he leaves behind and bequeaths to others and writes in the will is the heritage that is given to you. It's something that you can inherit. In the kingdom of God, there are things already given to us as our inheritance. Christ died on the cross. By the power of the cross, he overcame the devil. He shed his blood. That's another heritage. He said, if I don't leave, the Holy Ghost will not come. That is another heritage. He left to us the word of God. That is another heritage. Then he left many others. He said, although Christ was rich, yet he became poor that through his poverty we might be rich. There is a heritage of wealth and riches for you. I don't need to tell you to shout amen. So in the kingdom of God, divine power is our heritage. It belongs to us. And so God is ushering us and taking us into our heritage. I want you to receive it by clapping to God, shouting to God, and telling him that what he's declaring through his servant, you believe it, you receive it, you embrace it, and it is established in your life. At the appointed time, it shall begin to be manifested in your life. Can I hear an amen? Some of you are entering a season of favor. If you have to do everything in this world with money, there are things you will not be able to do before you die. But there are things that God will provide for you to facilitate and to speed up and to reduce your bill. He will make people show kindness to you. Oh, can I hear an amen, somebody? Remember in our study about Nehemiah, when he was in Shushan, and the message was sent to him by his brother Hanani, that the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down, and the gates thereof burnt with fire. And he went into fastings and prayers until the king invited him, and they asked him what was wrong. It was then he spoke his mind, and the king showed favor. Number one, he sought permission to go and visit his brethren in Jerusalem. He was the king's cupbearer, and under no circumstances should he leave for 1 week, 1 month, 5 months. No. Then he asked for security. The king gave him some security details. Then he asked for timber. Oh, Micaiah. Some of you, you'll be provided with iron rods. Some of you will get cement. Others will get stone chippings. Some of you will get good and fine sand. And others will get the fittings that you need. The roofing will be provided. The car will be made available. Let me hear an amen, a resounding amen. I say you are entering a season of favor. If you agree with me, don't look at the person next to you. Shout your shout, clap your clap, embrace the miracle, take your breakthrough. Oh, brother, you are not clapping. You are not clapping. You are not clapping. Some of you are entering your season of open doors. Doors that should have been open, that were closed by the devil. I said the doors are opening. Some doors to some wombs who have been married for a long time and are expecting the fruit of the womb. I said the doors to the womb is opening by the power of God. I said some doors of job opportunities, opportunity to study in higher institutions, local and international. Not doors. I'm talking about doors of wealth, doors of substance. They are opening to you. It is the season we are entering into. It is different from yesterday. And so you don't have to act in a nonchalant manner as if God is failing you. Oh, I expect you to shout your own shout. Cry your own cry. Believe your own believing. Take your own miracles. Oh, some of you are going to get invitations from abroad. Some of you, your school fees will be financed abroad. Your children's school fees, even your grandchildren's school fees. And prophesy into your lineage already. I see the season is changing. I see the season is changing. It's changing from a dry season to a rainy season. I see the season is changing. It's changing from a season of lack and insufficiency into a season of abundance. I see the season is changing. Everything is falling in line. Hey, the lines are falling in pleasant places by the power of God. Everything is falling in places. Your children shall go back to school. Hey, your relationship shall work by the power of God. Everything is working. Everything is going to work. We unlock the doors that the enemies locked. Mashandarabakia. More businessmen and women shall be raised from the soil of this church. Many more leaders shall be raised from the soil of this church. And to those who are listening to us, even online and in person, the season is changing. The season has changed. Plug yourself into it. They said that they sat at the pool. One man sat there for 38 years because in his mind he had no helper. Because in his mind there were others who were smarter than him. The angel of the Lord came to disturb the waters to symbolize that a new season had come. May the angel of God disturb your waters to signify that the time to dive in and to take your miracle has come. Shout amen. I want a proper amen. I say your waters are being stirred. Miracles are coming forth. If you want the best in the soup, you stir it. Because the meat would normally settle at the base. The lovely part of the colloidal solutions settles at the base. You think I didn't do chemistry in school? So when you stir the fish, the meat, the crabs, the oysters, the lobsters, all come to the surface, then you can pick what you want and give yourself a treat. I say, God has stirred your waters. You are about to have a treat from heaven. Receive the miracle of God. Receive the blessings of God. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I said he brought them out that he might take them in. You didn't become a Christian just for fun. You didn't become a Christian to remain the way you were, still poor, defeated, frustrated, feel full of hopelessness to be raptured. He brought them out that he might take them in on this earth. So you must enter, you must enter. You must enter by force. You must enter by by power. You must enter by confidence. You must enter knowing that nothing can stand the power of God, and nothing shall prevail against the power of God. You must enter into your heritage, into your prosperity. You must enter into your destiny. You must enter, enter, enter the grace of God. Enter. While I was preparing this message, I remember the title of a film that was acted by Bruce Lee in 1973. It's called Enter the Dragon. Listen to me. We are casting out the dragon. We are driving out the dragon. We are casting out the devil. We are casting out the demon. But we were allowed to enter the grace of God. We stopped the dragon. We overpower the dragon. We restrict the dragon. We limit the devil from your household. We limit him from your thoughts, from your life. When Bruce Lee acted, he went into Shaolin. Shush, shush. But Jesus went to the cross. Oh, I said Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross. He died a painful death, but he resurrected gloriously. Today he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and I. And he's standing with us through the thick and thin. You are not alone. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he shall be with you. You will not die in that valley. My season has changed. Can I say your season has also changed? Some of you have suspended some parties. Some of you have suspended some celebrations. But I see the parties happening. I'm not just talking about your birthday party. I'm not just talking about your marriage anniversary party. I am talking about a miracle. I'm talking about a blessing, tangible manifestation by the power of God that will make men wonder about what God is doing in your life. Oh, the party is coming. The celebration is happening. It is in your direction. It is written on your house number. In the name of Jesus, take the victory now. He brought them out. Oh, I like this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures. He brought them out that he might take them in. He brought them out that he might take them in. Now, let me go to the main text that we read from Psalm 40, from verses 1 to 3. And he says, I waited patiently on the Lord. In other words, don't fret, don't worry, don't be disturbed. Don't rush ahead of God. I'm talking about Psalm 40 verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. Another translation says, he inclined unto me and heard my cry. There are things that you wait for, and if you need them, they are worth waiting for. If you want a lasting miracle, you will wait for God. You won't rush ahead of him. You won't make the mistakes that Abraham made. You would wait till your time comes. King Saul rushed and he lost his throne. Someone else took it. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. If you feel all these days God hasn't heard your cry, this scripture is telling me to tell you God has heard your cries. In verse 2, he says, he brought me out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Let's pick them one after one. The other. Number one, he brought me out. He brought me out. What did he bring me out from? From the horrible pit. He brought me out from the horrible pit. In the original, the expression horrible pit has a few meanings. Firstly, it means confusion. He brought me out of the horrible pit of confusion. It's a place where you cannot make up your mind. It's a place where you rise up from bed and everything seems clouded in your mind. It's a place where you cannot focus. You cannot settle on a decision. And everything has clouded your mind. It is not of God. The Bible says, for I've not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you the spirit of love, of power, and of sound mind. A mind that is disciplined, well controlled. And when you speak to your mind obeys the word of God. So he brought him out of confusion. Number two says he brought him out of destruction. That pit eventually could destroy a person because some of those pits had no water. So if you were left in it like they wanted to leave Joseph in that pit, he could have died of dehydration, could have died of thirst. Number three, that pit means a pit of uproar and noise. I don't know where the noise is coming from. But when you go into a vacant building with a long corridor, if you shout, ah, you will hear the echo, ah, ah. So I don't know whether it was echoes of animals. I don't know, but the Bible says that he brought him out of the uproar and the noise. And finally, it means he brought him out of misery. To live a life of misery is to live a substandard life. Your meals are not good. Your place of dwelling is not good. The people surrounding you don't encourage you. You owe so much. You cannot raise your head up. And you are in a miserable life. Every time it's as if, why were you created? Why were you brought into this world? Why were some people born to the privileged communities in the city? And why was I consigned to this place? Why did God give me the parents he gave me? Sometimes people look at these things, their eyes well up with tears, and they become depressed. But the psalmist said, I was in a pit of misery, and God brought me out. Today, you are not ordained to live a miserable life. I, as a servant of God, under the anointing of God, I bring you out of the miserable pit. Out, I command you out, 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 in Jesus' name. You cannot be there. You are out already. You cannot go back. We block the hole. You cannot go back. When people are in misery, there's a lot of self-pity. Whatever I do, people criticize me. Anything I do, people find fault with it. It's as if I'm marking time in life and nobody cares about me. I had malaria. For 1 week now, nobody has called me. The psalmist says that I was getting depressed and I spoke to myself, my soul, why art thou cast down? He says, hope in the Lord. So you are the first person to encourage yourself before we bring our encouragement. The people that came to comfort Job were miserable people. The suggestions they were giving to Job were not scriptural. And it would have worsened the situation of Job. Oh, if my father were alive, things would not have been like this. There are some people whose fathers are alive. They are rich, but they are spending the money on wrong people. So the issue is not whether your father is alive or not. Oh, had my mother been here, I wouldn't have been working so hard in the house. You think you'd be a lazy child? Joseph was taken from his parents. He had to work to survive. Oh, if there was love in this church, let the love start from you. Let the love start from you. Go around and show love. When you come, greet us. If we smile back or not, you don't care, because love makes itself vulnerable. Yeah, the people you love are the same people who hurt you. Have you not read from the Psalms that the very person with whom I ate from the same bowl has lifted his heel against me? We took banku and tilapia together. We took fufu and palm nut soup with goat meat together. The same person has lifted. So love makes you vulnerable. And you can't live a life of misery. And, oh, why? No. You don't have to come from a privileged past to live a privileged life. The Bible says God picks men from dunghill and brings them to the palace. So where you have started is not a mistake. I didn't hear an amen. God didn't make a mistake in the family in which you were brought from. You will have to recognize the heritage you have in Christ. Appropriate them, use them skillfully, and change your circumstances. He brought me out of the horrible pit. The next thing, number two, what did he bring me out of? Out of the miry clay. It means out of the muddy grounds, out of the clay soil, out of the slippery grounds, out of the grounds where there was no stability. In the Hebrew, it's an expression that stands for calamity. Out of the miry clay means you are in danger. You are in a situation where things can scatter your future and scatter your prosperity and probably seek to take away what belongs to you. He brought him out of the miry clay. Those pits had no water. And if there was any soil in it, it was damp and it was clay. So it couldn't be a ground where you could stand solidly. It was a ground that if you attempted to move and climb up, you would slip and most likely fall. The psalmist said, God realized where I was no good. So he literally plucked me out. He took me out of the miry clay. He took me out of the non-stable grounds. He took me out of the slippery grounds. He took me out. In Psalm 26 verse 12, Psalm 26 verse 12 part A says, my foot standeth in an even place. Then if you want to read part B, in the congregations will I bless the Lord. The expression even place means my foot standeth away from all dangers. I will not slip. I will stand on a secure place, on a secure ground. The psalmist says in Psalm 62 verse 5, he's my rock, my salvation, he's my defense. I shall not be moved. I will not be moved by the insults. I will not be moved by the unreasonable criticisms. I will not be moved by the persecutions. I will not be moved by even setbacks and disappointments. I will stay firm. I will stand on the solid grounds. I like what Psalm 18 verse 18 says. Psalm 18 verse 18 says, they prevented me in the day of my calamity. The Lord was my stay. That expression, they prevented me, means they confronted me. They opposed me. They tried to raise a limitation against me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He was my stability. I shall not be moved by what I see. And I shall not be moved by what I hear. That is what you're going to say to yourself. Then the number four. In the psalm we read, Psalm 40, says he put a new song in my mouth. Before I explain, I want everybody here to clap and shout because there's a new song in your mouth. Oh yes! Oh yes! Oh, I like that shout. May the Lord honor you. May the Lord glorify you. May the Lord beautify you. Let me hear another worthy shout, a shout of praise and a shout to the Lord. In other words, he took the dirges out of my mouth, the mobro mobro song. Jehovah Rehoni, me the minsa mama unyami. So dear man, I didn't know how to sign you. You are relating yourself to Job and saying that, you know, this is one of Job's sorrows. I've given my matter to the Lord. If you have given your matter to the Lord, then stop talking about Job. He says, he put a new song in my mouth. There is a song in my mouth. It is prophetic that there's a blessing coming forth. So if I learn to shout to the Lord, then I'm drawing out of the wells of salvation that blessing. Can I hear you? Can I? Because that song is prophetic. That song is prophetic that something great is about to happen in your life. Oh, shout amen. Shout amen. Shout yeah. Is a new song. There were different instances in the Bible that by the mighty hand of God, various deliverances, various victories were wrought by the hand of God. In other words, such doings by Jehovah were outstanding. They were a marvel and a wonder. You see, Israel had been in bondage for 430 years. Generations after generations that were born had never seen the light of liberty, nor breathed the fresh air of liberty. They were in bondage unending, without hope and without future, until some of them started praying to their God. And God heard them and told Moses, I'm sending you as a deliverer to go there. Israel had never seen plagues come upon Egypt before, to see the Nile turn red into blood, and to see the final plague of firstborns dying, firstborn humans, animals, were all dying in the homes of the Egyptians. But because they had applied the blood to their doorposts and lintels, I'm talking about Israel, they were spared of the angel of death that had passed through the land. Israel had never experienced this. So you cannot sing an old song for such a miracle. Yeah, I'm coming. Israel had never passed through a Red Sea before, where the waters will be made to dry up and they will form one wall on the right hand side and one wall on the left hand side, and passage will be given into Israel from one bank to the other bank, and it was wide enough for over 500,000 people to be running across while they were pursued by the armies of Pharaoh on their chariots. When they got to the other side, threateningly and menacingly, they saw the armies of Pharaoh coming and running closer to them. And God directed Moses to stretch the rod, the same rod that opened the Red Sea, to stretch it back onto the waters, and it closed up upon Pharaoh's armies and the charioteers, and the horses and the metal chariots were all buried, and the humans were drowned in the place. It was then that Moses sang a song that we haven't seen in the Bible before, and Miriam took the time tambourine and started playing. And Moses said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. The Lord my God has become my song, and he has become my victory. I thought you would shout a new shout and clap a new clap. You are clapping the same old clap. I say you are clapping the same old clap. Come on, shout, yeah! When Miriam heard Pastor Moses singing, he said, how can the ladies be silent? Come on, get up and form a line behind me. And they took their tambourines and started playing. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider has he thrown into the sea. The Lord my God has become my song, and he has become my victory. Can you imagine getting to waters that were not drinkable? The waters were bitter. If you attempted to drink, you will run. Your thirst will never be quenched, because it was as if some bitter medicine was in it. But there goes the directives of the Lord to Moses to get a branch, pluck it off, and immerse it into it. And they started drinking. Will you sing an old song? Or if a new song came to your mind, would you sing the new song? Let me fast forward to Jericho. Now you are seeing the thing. Walls had never fallen down like that before in the eyes of Israel. What I'm telling you is that there are victories, there are blessings, there are open doors that you're going to have. And these doors are going to be such that it will blow your mind. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. It will blow your mind. It will be so overwhelming that you don't know how to praise God. You may roll from your living room one side to the other side and roll back. You may take your cover cloth and wave it to the Lord. You will come to church and say, the Lord has done it. Before you testify, you will say, the Lord has done it about 10 times, and will be in anxiety. What has the Lord done? Oh, the Lord has done it again. I thought you would clap. Boy, you here now. Hey, oh, Chordy, Chordy, wow. Oh, Chordy, ah, we were trouble. No, no, you are there. She says she has clapped down, she's tired. Have you not read about the king that the prophet gave the spear to strike the ground, which will symbolize his victory against his enemies, the Syrians? And he struck the ground only 3 times. Let me see you strike your ground with your shout and your praise together. Yamamandoro bro shilere memendaya. Ayamamandiri bikiastaya. Ayaba banduri bikiagba tayabrestelere bekaya. Ayana namazaya brashtelere bebe. Ayana namazilere bekaya brastaya. That verse where he has put a new song in my mouth, he says that after God has done this, it will make people to wonder. Can I hear an amen? He says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Many will hear about your testimony. They will hear about the amazing things that God is doing for you, and they will rejoice. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible says, and they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain by your blood, you purchase for God those from every tribe and tongue and the people and the nation. It doesn't mean the old songs are bad, and it doesn't mean that the old songs must not be sung. The reason why they wrote the Psalms, and some of them were songs of praise, was to remember them, so generations after must come. In other words, don't sing the old songs, drop them, but add them to your repertoire, to your collection, so that the day that God wants you to pick from the repertoire, the collection, you can pick it. Then you add the new song. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. There are some of you who don't learn songs when we teach them. When we say, let's teach songs, you sit there and say, I want God to meet my financial needs. Why are we learning a new song? I want God to provide money so that I can buy lunch for the household. Why are you teaching a new song? If we don't teach a new song, we are leaving you to remain in the old. New songs attract new breakthroughs. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. New songs create new opportunities. They symbolize the fact that this that God has done has not occurred in my life. Some of you, in the year we are entering, you will sing new songs. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Somebody will visit Switzerland. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Somebody will visit Denmark. Somebody will visit Australia. Somebody will go for holidays in Brazil. Somebody will go and preach in the US. Somebody will transit through London. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. A new song is about to occur in your life in Jesus' name. Let me bring my message to a close. I like that amen. Let me bring my message to a close. As I bring this message to a close, I will introduce you to one Hebrew word. There are seven main Hebrew words that symbolize praise. And I will introduce you to one of the words that symbolizes praise. Can I hear an amen? That Hebrew word is Shabak. Everybody say Shabak. So you say it rightly. Shabak. S-H-A-B-A-C-H. Say it for the last time. Shabak. Shabak means to address in a loud voice. Many people say, oh, is God deaf that the people are shouting? Oh, don't you remember Jesus shouted at the tomb? And we don't shout always. We only shout when our faith is stirred. And when the occasion comes and we sense the right season and we know there are some breakthroughs that are about to happen. So when we shout, we are in the Shabak. We are addressing God with a loud voice and a loud tone. Number two, Shabak means to command or commend. Let all the earth praise the Lord. Because it's good and his mercies endure it forever. We are commanding, we are commending. Number three, Shabak means to declare the triumph. Number four, Shabbat means to speak out the glory. If there was shame, you are supposed to shout out the glory. If there was reproach, you are supposed to shout out the glory. The last but one meaning says to shout out the triumph. Triumph means celebrating the victory. And victory means you have defeated your enemies. In our case, Jesus in the battlefront defeated our enemies for us. And afterwards, he handed us over the victory and asked us to enforce his will. He said, "Let my will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven." So if there's a will contradicting the will of God, and it's against what your family stands for, can I hear an amen? Yeah. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. Then you have to enforce the will of God in the circumstances. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. There are some dogs, these guard dogs, they are very stubborn. Sometimes even the owner has to subdue them before you control them. And when a visitor is coming and they are not chained and they are around, sometimes they disregard the owner. It is when the owner has a strong voice and say, "Major, go away!" Because they hear language. Those creatures, when you speak to them, they know what you are saying. Or, "Captain, disappear!" In Shabbat, we praise God with a loud voice. The voice you raised was semi-loud. I don't want demi semi-loud. I want full loudness. So let me hear you. Oh, mama, God bless you. A grandmother is shouting like that. And you young man with fresh blood in your veins, are you ready to shout? I say, are you ready to shout? Please rise to your feet. Are you ready to shout? I'm asking you for the last time. Are you ready to shout? Let me give you a scripture, then we shout. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 6. "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One in the midst of thee." Cry out and shout. Another translation says, "Praise the Lord and shout." Oh, come on. In other words, in the shout, you are directing it to the Most High God. The power of God is coming out of your mouth, and it will crush the enemies and deal with the opposition and destroy the limitations and destroy the obstacles. And are you ready to shout? Listen. I'm not asking you to shout for 5 seconds and 1 minute. I'm going to shout till I sense I have taken some victory this morning. Are you ready to clap? Because Psalms 47 says, verse 1 says, "Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph." Are you ready to shout? "Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion." Come on, raise your voice. Ayenderebekaya, ayenderebezia, ayenderebezaya, ayenderebezaya, ayandarabazaya, Ayandarabazaya. Ayandarabazaya. Ayelelelelelele. Ayelelelelelelele. Ayelelelelelele. Ayelelelelelelele. Ayelelelelelelele. Imandorobosia. Aye man mi ang matorobros telere batu agbataya. Aye lere baki agbataya. Yama mandiri visaya. Yama mandiri vikaya. Aye lere baki asaya. Aye mamandere vikaya bra. Aye nara mazelere baba. Aye nara mazelere baba.
Rabbe kabunda batia. Risete korabakose. Ayelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelelel